Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's GHIRELLI.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
The foreign missions were the fruit of the passion and the death of our blessed Lord. What greater proof is there than this, that it was not until after his resurrection and the moment of his ascension that the missionary mandate was given? Go forth, therefore, and make all nations my disciples. Matthew 28:19. Now the pagans would come into their own, not only those who had lived before his coming, but those who would live until his final glory. And there will come a day when, at the judgment when this generation is on trial, the men of Nineveh will appear against it. Matthew 12:41. Welcome to Live a Little, Episode 7. This was from Life of Christ by Fulton Sheen. Recently, I've been thinking about how the church seems to be stuck in the survival mode, as if we are waiting for this storm to pass so we can pick up the Lord's mandate from where we left off. But the storm never seems to pass. But the church is stuck in this bunker, hiding, cowering, as if the war hasn't already been won. And it makes me sad, to be honest, because when I think about it, the Catholic Church has the fullness of truth, but we are not willing to share it. We're trying to keep this wonderful gift that the Lord has given to us. I wonder what would have happened to me if Protestants hadn't picked up the slack of the Catholic missionary effort, or lack thereof, left behind. So I'm eternally grateful for our separated brothers and sisters for taking our Lord's last commandment serious. Today we will be talking about why and how we can share the faith with everyone, but especially with Muslims, because it seems like the Muslim heart is a much harder soil than what we encounter in our daily lives. A few episodes ago, Father Harrison and I talked about acedia, how our loss of the joy of our salvation affects us, our daily lives. And that was more of a personal, that was a discussion about our personal daily lives. But acedia also affects how we project our faith to the outside. I call it this missionary acedia, because this kind of loss of joy and our sin against charity and the work of the Holy Spirit doesn't only affect our holiness, our personal life. If we actually believe it is true that God became man and died on the cross to save us from our sins and then resurrected, went up to heaven, all of these beliefs are crazy. But if they are true, and if they decide our eternal destiny, it's so important. There's nothing more important in life than the life of Christ. So what does it mean if we don't ever reflect this in our lives, right? I'm not talking about just words. Words are important. Yes, we must talk. But it should also, that joy of the cross and the Easter Sunday should burst forth from our lives with everything we do, every single thing we do. Because it's an amazing gift. So we realize that the doors of heaven are open to us. That's amazing. If we believe that every single person has an eternal destiny, either heaven or hell. You may go to heaven through purgatory, but it's at the end either heaven or hell. So what happens is that if you love your neighbor, then you will share the good news with them. There's no other way around it. And we are commanded to love our neighbor. Never hate, always love. So the way missionary Isidia first presents itself is that loss of joy. This is such a post-Christian world that Christ's message and his gift gets lost in these like vague references of tolerance and encounter and compassion, but it's never quite understood. It's slightly touched, but never quite understood. So people think they know this gift. So they say no without even knowing, without having ever challenged by a true Christian, by a Christian who actually lives the faith. That minimal exposure is almost more dangerous than not having known about Christ at all, because it just like inoculates you against the gospel. You just hear and hear and hear, and it just like makes you a little more indifferent. It's like that, that frog that slowly boiled to death. That's one of the reasons I struggled with my faith since I moved to the West, more than living in a Muslim country. I mean, looking back, I didn't understand why this was happening, but now that I am a little more aware of the sin of Isidia, I can see how that lukewarmness slowly pulled me in. And another thing that that Isidia creates is that we live such comfortable lives here. My husband and I, we live on one income with four children. We are no way rich, but this is the richest I've been in my whole life, right? We have the internet, we have food, we have a house. It's just like we have everything we need, even though we are not rich. And that's what I can safely say for a lot of most people in this country. It's a wealthy country. And it's almost we lose our need for God. It's that material comfort kind of pulls a veil between this world that's described as a veil of tears. And another one that Isidia leads to stems from this. So we lose our joy, we become lukewarm in our comfort, and then we become indifferent towards nations, and including our own. What does it say to us that we never talk to our next door neighbor? We never make an effort to make a conversation? Or that they know that we are Christians, we are Catholics, but they have never seen the fruits of the Spirit. We are cranky, we are yelling all the time. There is no such thing as joy and peace in our lives for people to be part of. And it stems from personal holiness and all the way to foreign missions. But my main topic today is why we should share the gospel with the Muslims. It's not easy. It's very hard, and I talk about this often, the servile fear a Muslim child grows up in. It gets so ingrained in his heart, in his brain, that seed of doubt is very hard to sow. It is not easy. They may not be an observant Muslim even, but they never walk up to the fence and look on the other side. They never. Okay, because the doubt itself, questioning itself, is discouraged for years. And that servile fear takes root so strongly that they never dare to look up their master to see who he is. But how can they dare to look up if there is not ever a Christian who is willing to share this wonderfully good news? I mean, think about St. Paul. He could have sit around after his conversion, but no. I mean, he walked miles and miles and miles, endured sea storms, imprisonment to spread the gospel, this crazy good news. I mean, he evangelized the known world back then single-handedly because he knew what his Lord asked of him. And he didn't care that nobody had ever heard of this crazy person, Jesus, who preached that there was only one God, but he didn't care because he knew his mission and he wanted to fulfill it. We used to take teenagers along the St. Paul's Way, which is this hiking route marked as you walk along, supposedly where St. Paul walked in one of his missionary journeys. And we have all these, 21st century gear, and we're walking, and we can only do so far. And the trail is all nicely marked, and there's, it's not that hard. And yet it was really hard for us. And I'm thinking, he did this just for the love of the Lord. How far could I go? Am I willing to be slightly uncomfortable? Am I willing to learn the faith so I can show my neighbor what true love is? And if you truly love somebody, you will show them. You will share the faith. There is no other thing. There is nothing more important in life. And I'm not saying so that you kind of bang people on the head with the Bible. Preaching the gospel is something you do every moment, with every breath you take, with every movement, with every word you say. It's almost like a lifestyle, right? They need to be able to Christ through you, because there's nowhere else to see him. You are the face of Christ for the world. And when it comes to Muslims, it's even more important because they just don't hear it. All they see is Hollywood movies and just whatever tiny little bit utterly watered down Christianity that they see there. And what is taught in Islam is that Christians change the Bible and the message of Jesus, and Christianity today is a perverted religion. It's like, how can you reach to a people like this? But now that we talked about that personal holiness, if we grow strong in our homes, in our own lives, in our homes, in our local churches, the Lord will eventually rise up people to go and do this very, very hard thing. It is not easy to preach the gospel in Muslim lands. It is not easy. It will test people in the worst ways, whether religious or lay. But without the religious, we cannot bring the sacraments. Without the religious, missions don't mean much. But it will test them in the worst ways because it's very hard soil. A lot of people use St. Francis' visitation of the Sultan as this attempt at dialogue. But no, St. Francis and his companions went there fully prepared to die for the faith. Fully prepared to die for the faith. His attempt was to preach the gospel and hopefully convert the Sultan. Not go into the war zone, into the tent of a guy who killed so many Christians already, to talk about what Islam and Christianity have in common and just have a cup of nice tea and say farewell and go back. No, St. Francis, pray for us. He went there to preach the gospel. So I come up with 7 tips on how to share the faith with Muslims. And there is no magic solution, as you can imagine, because people much holier and smarter than me would have already found it. But little tips that will aid you if there are Muslims in your life. The first one is be prayerful. In Romans 10:1, St. Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." But we must pray. Like I said, the soil is very hard, and it's a spiritual paddle first and foremost, you must pray. If you're asking for salvation of anybody in your life, but especially for Muslims, conversion of Muslims, you must pray. Pray the rosary, pray the divine mercy, fast, offer up your sufferings. Assign patron saints. I ask Saint Josephine Bakita and her intercession and for the conversion of Muslims. I pray that Our Lady will appear to Muslims. Pray, pray, pray. That is the only way. And for Muslims, it's almost the Lord needs to open their hearts in the spiritual realm before they can even see or understand, comprehend the fruits of the gospel. So I'd say, why not pick a day in your week and offer up a prayer or a rosary or fast until noon for the conversion of Muslims. And second, be faithful. In 2 Peter 1:5 says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. We talked about this already a little bit. If you're not a holy person, if the Lord doesn't shine in you, there's nothing you can share. You have to always strive to become more virtuous, more holier, more in tune with the Lord. Your prayer life needs to improve daily. If you have nothing inside you, if your cup isn't filled by Christ, then you have nothing to share. And that is the biggest witness. Your life, your personal holiness is biggest witness. It must start from there. It must start from there. And once you grow in virtue, which will lead you to a desire to learn more about Christ and His church and His teachings, then you will grow in knowledge. So, of course, learn your faith. Know your faith. A Catholic has no excuse of not knowing his or her faith now. There's little articles, podcasts, television shows for you to listen and learn and be prepared to answer the questions people ask you about your faith. Do you know why you're Catholic? Especially now, do you know why you're Catholic, or is it just out of habit? Is it something you just inherited from your parents? Or do you actually believe this? Do you have you read about your faith? So that virtue should always lead a desire to know more. And sometimes that knowledge goes through just reading and learning. And especially if you're thinking of talking to your Muslim friend, you always need to be prepared. It doesn't mean that you need to know everything and just come up with a scripture verse every time. You can always say, let me research that and get back to you. But you should at least have general ideas why the church teaches what they teaches, what she teaches. Another one is be joyful. In Ezra 6:22, the Old Testament records, the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them. I can tell this from my own conversion. Seeing the joy of Christ in Protestants' lives had a big impact on me, because that is something I had never witnessed in my life. Because that inner conversion of the heart and a life, and just geared towards becoming like Christ, it just creates this, it's almost like a force field that people want to be inside it. I was so attracted to Christians because of this, because it was so peaceful to be around them. Nothing I have ever experienced it before. And especially if you're preaching to Muslims, that peace and joy of Christ should always be in you. It doesn't mean you have to be happy and bubbly all the time, of course. But joy is something so much deeper, which again goes back to your personal holiness and your relationship with the Son of God. Another one is be purposeful. St. Matthew records in his Gospel 22:41, now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. Jesus asked a lot of questions, and he has asked you a lot of questions, and sometimes you were able to answer, sometimes you weren't. But what the Lord always did as he shared his truth with people is to first make them question what they believe. And this is one of the things so very important with Muslims because most of them just inherited their faith and they learned it from their elders and never really read the Quran or the Hadith for themselves. Of course, there are exceptions, but most Muslims are this way. I mean, think about your average Joe walking, you know, on the street. How many of them had actually read the Bible? Like, we kind of inherit our beliefs. And it's very same with the Muslims. Ask them, why do you believe that the Bible was changed? Can you tell me where you think it is changed? Can you show me any evidence that it is changed? Or can you tell me why Muhammad did this thing? So, you know, find that common ground and show that you're genuinely interested in their beliefs and ask questions so they can find the answer. Don't just serve them in a plate because that usually pushes people away. Just keep asking questions and be friendly that they actually trust you enough to answer your questions. Another one is be respectful. In Sirach 21:22 says, the foot of a fool rushes into a house, but a man of experience stands respectfully before it. This is so very true with Muslims in your life. You must be respectful. They are also created in the image and likeness of God, and the Lord loves them and desires their salvation as well. The Lord loves them as much as He loves you. So you, when you encounter a Muslim, just remember that there's a piece of eternity in them because they are also created in the image of God, and be respectful so that they can also see your respect and respect you back so that you will have earned their trust, and then you will open a little door for gospel to shine in. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying this to mean that you be a pushover. It's different being respectful. You can be respectful and still stand firm. And be peaceful. Our Lord says in the Gospel of St. John, in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Gospel sounds like folly to ears that have never heard of a God who is willing to die for His creation. And sometimes Muslims need to hear this story over and over and over. The same story of salvation and same parables of the prodigal son. And sometimes the seed never will blossom. It'll never grow. It is hard. It is what we believe is foolishness to the world. But don't give up. Don't get frustrated. Don't lose your peace. It is not your job to convert people because this is not your ability. All you can do is to follow our Lord's commandment and go forth and try to spread the good news. And as He says to His disciples, if a town doesn't accept you, if a person is not receptive, you continue praying, you do what you do, but if it doesn't, you shake the dust off your feet. Right? You cannot change people. You cannot convert your people. Do not lose your peace. Remember that you're but a pawn in the divine hands of our Lord. And be hopeful. Be hopeful. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says, again, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Be hopeful. Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is able to change hearts, even though He will never go against the free will. The lady who spent 3 years explaining me who Jesus is, who God is, for years and years and years. She put up with me, and I don't even know how many hours she prayed for me. She wasn't there when I converted. I converted with people who have only known me for 3 months. She wasn't there. And I'm sure this was a very humbling moment for her because she had tried so hard. She had spent so much time. She was so patient with me. Thank God. And I'm sure she thought, it's like, she's never going to come around. It's just never going to happen. But it did. But at the end of the day, it was all these little inputs, little seeds, little big seeds, and then so many other things that came together through the Holy Spirit that led me to accept the good news. It was never one person, one thing, lest we think that we have anything to do with changing people's hearts. So be hopeful and remember that with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So this is the small, tiny wisdom I wanted to share with you today in regards to sharing the faith with Muslims. It isn't much, but I think it is important. And you also need to remember that your own faith will shrink and become ugly if you don't have the joy and peace of the Lord so much that you can't wait to share it with others. So it's not just for the others' sake, but it's also for your personal holiness that you try to spread the faith. This is the kingdom of God. Of course we want it to be as big as it possibly can be. It's not one way or the other. It's not quantity against quality. The Lord can have both. And He wants each and every one of us to part of this little tiny person's life. Right? Like He sent so many people in my life. I was nothing. I wasn't important. But He loved me so that He tried. He wanted me to come into the sheepfold so I wouldn't be captured by the wolf. So find the sheep and pray for them. Offer up sacrifices for them. Show the joy of Christ. Be intentional. Find someone you don't like and pray for them. You don't know how Holy Spirit will work in their lives. Maybe not through you, but through somebody else. There's always hope. There's always hope for everyone. And one of the things I often pray is apparitions of Our Lady in Muslim lands. For the first time, yesterday I heard about this apparition that happened in a tiny town called Zaytun. Actually, it means olive. Like the olive branch, olive, the the food in Turkish. I don't know if that's what it means in Arabic. I'm sure it does. We kind of have a lot of Arabic words in Turkish. And she appeared there and she didn't say a word. And she appeared as light hovering over this church. And it's an approved apparition. And she healed Muslims, opened their eyes, took out this woman's cancer. It's amazing. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people saw her. There are actual pictures of this apparition. And consider that that is Our Lady actually appearing above a church, and there was not a mass conversion. It is that hard. This is a hard religion to go through. We must be prayerful. We must be persistent. And most of all, we shouldn't give up. We must never give up. We believe in the gospel. We believe in the eternal life, and it's good enough to share with everyone. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening. And please leave a review on iTunes and let me know what you thought. Or let me know if you have other ideas for different episodes on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I would really appreciate if you consider supporting me on Patreon, even $2 or $5 a month. These podcasts take time and energy to produce, and I would really appreciate it. It's if you type in Daria Little on Patreon's little search box, it should come up. But please keep me in your prayers. And before we finish, I wanted to say this short prayer for mission vocations, because we need more religious to come up, especially priests, and go preach in Muslim lands. God our Father, You will all men and women to be saved and come to the knowledge of Your truth. Send workers into Your great harvest that the gospel may be preached to every creature and Your people, gathered together by the word of life and strengthened by the power of the sacraments, may advance in the way of salvation and love. I ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's live a little and bring the lost to life together.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry
to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.